You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to have your mind blown with inspiration to eat more plants from someone whose brain is made of plants. It's an inside joke. You'll get it once you're inside this episode. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Today's episode is one of the plantiest ones yet, and I can think of no better sponsor for this show than a company who's made consuming more plants more easy. Amazing Grass. Point blank, I love Amazing Grasses. Amazing Grasses. You've seen me use Amazing Grass Greens powder in my What I Eat in a Day videos. You've seen it in my Mind Body Green article about my daily diet. You've seen me give samples of Amazing Grass away at live events so others can also become borderline addicted to it. And you've probably seen it in my Instagram more than you've seen my puppy. And that's saying a lot. Their green superfood powders are an insanely tasty blend of nutritious greens, phytonutrient-packed fruits, veggies, grasses, digestive enzymes, and probiotics that I can't and don't want to live without. I'm an enormous fan of their watermelon energy flavor, which I drink practically every AM, but they've got a massive assortment of grassy products to check out and fall in love with. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they offer Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40%, not some measly 10%. 40% off, which is almost half off your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. And all that info is also linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/31. Okay, not to be too weird, but it was a dream come true speaking with my guest today. I mean, I think anyone getting the chance to speak to Sarah Britton should feel that it's a dream come true, because I don't think there's a person sweeter, sillier, smarter, and more passionate about the power of plants than Sarah is. If you don't recognize the name Sarah Britton, perhaps saying My New Roots will do the trick, which is the blog name she's been running for over 10 years and has used to inspire and change lives of hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. What started as a way for Sarah to simply share all this exciting, life-changing, healthy stuff that she was learning with someone other than her uninterested ex-boyfriend has, in 10 years, morphed into a full-blown plant-eating movement, complete with an app, two books, retreats, and a print store. I thought we'd just be talking about plants, the subjects in Sarah's drool-worthy photos, but our conversation led us to a truly holistic chat about health from the ground, to the plate, to the mouth, to the mind. And speaking of mind, prepare for yours to be blown. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the Party of My Plants podcast.
You are so welcome. I'm so happy to be here.
This is truly an honor because I have to tell you, yours is the first food blog I have ever read.
Really?
Really? Truth. I've been following you for 10 years, which seems incomprehensible, but you've been kicking it at mynewroots.org. Why are you an org?
Okay, it's a really weird story, but it's just because, like, again, like, I started blogging so long ago that I didn't know anything, and the mynewroots.com wasn't available, and I was like, well, it's not for profit, so I guess .org is fine.
So you're a nonprofit?
Yeah, I'm a nonprofit. Anyway, I don't know why. It's embarrassing. And now, of course, the person who owns mynewroots.com is just, like, waiting for me to get desperate enough to pay, like, the $30,000.
Oh, my God.
Will never happen.
So funny. I bet they get so much traffic from you.
Oh, they probably do. Oh, anyway.
It's so funny. But yeah, I've been following mynewroots.org for 10 years because you've been doing it for 10 years, which is amazing.
I can't believe it, actually, when you say that. I mean, I'm very well aware that it's been 10 years. It's just crazy to really think that, because I've never worked on something obviously ever worked on something as long in my
right,
whole life.
Most people haven't. I mean,
yeah, it's a marathon.
It's an accomplishment. It's amazing. And thank over you. The years, you've had so many achievements that we'll get into. But how did this My New Roots thing even get started?
Well, it all began, I went down to work on an organic farm in Arizona. Actually, it was a whole community called Arcosanti. And I went down to do a 5-week workshop in organic farming, and I had the most deeply profound transformation inside and out in the course of like a week that I ended up staying there for almost a year and really going deep. I mean, I just didn't really understand how much food could impact us and how different we could feel when we were eating properly.
Right.
And I was vegetarian before going there, but I really subsisted off of like bagels, like white flour and white rice. And I just didn't really understand anything about nutrition.
Right.
And I also was totally addicted to junk food, not fast food, but just like candy. Like I was so sugar addicted. It actually, I didn't realize till I went down there and I didn't have access to it, how chained I was to my addiction. And it was really eye-opening and scary and made me really sad actually, because I felt very imprisoned by it. So I went down to this farm. I felt so good within a week of only eating.
What took you to the farm?
Well, I studied design in university and I had a real focus on environmental design. And through the program, I found out about this place over and over and over again. And for some reason, it just spoke to me. I mean, we were obviously bombarded with so many amazing projects going on all over the world with environmental design. But for some reason, this one just kept calling my name. And everyone else seemed pretty like, meh. But I don't know what it was. I just listened to this intuition I had. And even though I was actually, I got a job right out of university. I was the first in my class to be hired. And I was like, set for life. And I really thought that I would never need to look for a job again. And within a few weeks, I was like, this is not for me. I was in a cubicle behind a computer all day. And I don't know what I imagined my life would be as a graphic designer after school, because that's what I was doing all day in school. But I, for some reason, just loved it because it was so creative. And all of a sudden, I was working for like this huge LEED certified architecture firm, which was incredible. However, you know, I was just at the bottom of the ladder and making these super corporate portfolios for, it was just the worst. Anyway.
So, okay, so back to the farm, where you're at the farm, you were called to go, you kept seeing signs to go to this farm, you're at the farm, you're going to stay for a week, you stay for a year.
Yes.
What happens? How does My New Roots spiral from the farm?
Yeah, so when I got back, after this year-long, very immersive, very life-altering experience, I had become so in tune with the natural world. You know, it's like the culture shock I got when I got back to Toronto was so massive. I mean, I'd been living literally in the middle of nowhere. Like this place is in the middle of nowhere. And to be transplanted into a very large city, downtown, you know, where people are so disconnected to the earth, I felt like there was no possible way I could go back to working in an office in front of a computer. That was just not happening.
Right.
And my parents were a little bit freaked out because I'd already spent this year like washing my hair with tofu water. And they were like, what are we going to do with you? And I said, okay, just I need a couple months to just figure this stuff out because I'm freaking out. This is really like, what are we doing to the planet? And I can't believe we're living in such opposition to what nature has intended for us to do. And you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I actually was thinking about what I really took so much pride in and pleasure in when I was on the farm, and it was cooking, in fact. Mm-hmm. And the farm manager and I really hit it off because he was such a foodie. I mean, you can't really grow food and not be into cooking. And we would just cook. I mean, all of our off hours, which there were not many, because if you've ever worked on a farm, it's like pretty intense. And but all of our off hours, we would just spend in the kitchen, which was an outdoor kitchen, which was like glorious.
Cool.
And, you know, we made bread from scratch, like sourdough bread and pizza. And we, you know, built a pizza oven out of earth, like out of the earth. We made a pizza oven. And we did a lot of fermentation stuff. And like, I mean, I thought before this that chickpeas came from a can. And it's like, guess what? They come from a plant and you can cook them yourself. Like, I mean, it just my whole world completely opened up to food and, you know, cuisine. So I actually started looking up cooking classes in Toronto because I thought, okay, I'm just going to bide my time. Maybe this is the right direction for me. Maybe I want to cook or something. Anyway, through looking for cooking classes, I actually stumbled upon a private school called the Institute of Holistic Nutrition.
Cool.
And I thought, holistic nutrition, what's that? That sounds really cool. And of course, like while I was down on the farm, I started reading a lot about homeopathy and naturopathy and mm-hmm. all kinds of different alternative medicines. I was bunking with a grand Reiki master, so I got really into energy medicine.
Cool.
And I was really, again, like, I mean, it wasn't just the food and the farming. I was sort of exposed to a completely different group of people that believe in things other than like, you know, going to the doctor and getting antibiotics at the first sign of something's wrong. You know, these people were, again, really aligned with nature. They believed in things I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
You know, just energy systems and how food and energy can work together in the environment. Like, I mean, this whole interconnectedness that I just didn't even see.
Right.
So anyway, the Institute of Holistic Nutrition seemed like, okay, this is just going in the opposite direction, or at least what it seemed to my parents. Mm-hmm. But I said to them, like, I'll pay for school. I just need to live at home.
Okay.
And they were like, I'll cook for you. Because I'd been studying away for 4 years in university. So my mom was like stoked to have me back in the house. Aww. So I put myself through holistic nutrition school while living at home and working part-time. And that was sort of the next piece of the puzzle for me. So I understood how food was grown. And I had this other piece of the puzzle, which was like, why do I feel so good when I eat this way? Mm-hmm. And so I understood how our bodies work. And that is why I started My Nutrients, because I had gone my whole life without understanding any of that. And I couldn't believe it, actually. I can't believe I'd survived so long without knowing what to do when I had a sore throat.
Right.
Or what happened when I, like, you know, fell and scuffed my knee, or when I had a headache. Mm-hmm. You know, why aren't we taught this stuff? Why aren't we taught how our bodies work? It really upset me, actually. And that rage was fueled into the blog. And not in a rageful way, obviously, but in
a passionate way.
In a passionate way. I was so excited to spread the word because I really believed we all had the right to know how we work.
Yes, thank you.
How to prevent illness or even cure illness. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah.
So with plants, with, you know, whole foods, it was just the most mind-blowing education for me, and very interdisciplinary as well, which I loved. So, I mean, I was also exposed again to all these different modalities of healing and prevention. And so My Nutrients was that. It was everything I sort of wanted to share with people. And, you know, blogging was such a new platform at that time.
Yeah,
that,
10 years ago.
And I didn't even know what a blog was. It was actually my boyfriend at the time who suggested I start a blog.
So, I mean, now it's 10 years later and you have hundreds of thousands of people across the world cooking foods that you make in your kitchen. I'm just wondering what that feels like.
It's really real, to be honest, because I never started this with any real intention other than like, I want people to know how to look after themselves and how to do that with food. And, you know, I guess because no one was reading it for so many years, it was like my mom and a handful of friends, you know, and there was no way to advertise this stuff. It was just word of mouth, and it spread so organically and so slowly. It's very surreal to me how big it's become. And, you know, it's like being recognized on the street is still like the weirdest thing in the world.
I'm sure.
I guess it's like how chefs have become household names and like heroes in their own right. And now food bloggers are the same. Like people's response to me is so baffling. And I mean, I'm so humbled by it,
That's
but
great.
It's just like, guys, cool it. Like,
no, you deserve it. Blogger.
I don't know. It's nuts. But I'm also really stoked about it because it means that there's hundreds of thousands of people out there who are waking up to the incredible possibilities in their lives through this way of eating. And I mean that in the sense of, first of all, cooking connects you to everything. The reason my health changed so dramatically was because suddenly I got into the kitchen again. And although, you know, it's great to pick up a cold pressed green juice as opposed to a can of Coke, mm-hmm. If we want to be healthier, we need to be in control of the food that we're eating. So that means getting in the kitchen again. And I'm just excited by the fact that so many people are starting to cook again. It's like a revolution. And it feels very exciting to be a part of that revolution and, you know, to inspire people even on the smallest level to take control of their health, you know, through cooking again. It's just friggin' amazing.
It is friggin' amazing. And you said your health changed so dramatically. In what way did your health change?
I felt really bad all the time. I felt really tired. I was overweight. I had really bad acne.
It's so hard to imagine. You're just glowing right now.
Thank you. And I just thought everyone felt like that. I just didn't know. I didn't really understand that, yeah, that you could feel good every day.
Yes, I think that is tremendous that you said that. And I believe that for so many people that they don't know how much better they can feel. Like they're walking around with their energy levels so-so, and they don't know that with some tweaks of their diet and their lifestyle, they could have energy out the roof, and they don't know how much better they could feel. And that's so complex because it feels like, you know, it's obvious for the people that are aware of their health struggles that they should do something about it. And it's easy to empower those people, but it's, I think, harder to empower the people that aren't even aware of their potential.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's such a hard sell to, you know, they say it's easier to change your religion than change your diet, which I think is really true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very hard sell for people until you do it and you see and you feel so good. It's very hard to make the choice and the life altering, you know, decisions to change your diet. It's really hard. But then once you're in it, you're like, I will never go back to this. It's the most challenging thing to shift. I always say to people, like, you'll never look back and say, oh, I wish I'd eaten more donuts. Like, that's just not possible. Like, but you have to make the leap. You have to get to that point and you'll be changed forever. Like, there's no looking back. You'll never go back to that because you don't want to feel bad again. Absolutely. But it's really hard to convince people how good they can feel.
Totally.
Until they feel it.
Right.
But it's unbelievable. So
it is.
So there was nothing, I don't have like some crazy, I didn't have some like, you know, devastating illness that brought me to this. It was actually by accident that this whole thing began. But what I didn't realize was how bad I felt before.
Right. And totally.
Looking back, it's like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mine was the same way. I had a lot of digestive issues and it was just IBS, which, I mean, whatever that means. But I just knew that I could feel better. And then once I started eating the plants, I was like, holy hell, like, yeah, I feel better. Like, wow. And in contrast, I now am like, wow, I was terrible before. Like, right. I didn't walk around saying like, I have low energy. But in hindsight, I'm like, wow, I was really low energy. Like I had immune issues. Like I was not happy and optimistic and just vibrant. But at the time I wasn't like sitting around like, hey, I'm not vibrant right now. I'd like to be more vibrant.
Exactly. You don't know until you get to that level. And like, I'm the same. Like I have to say I was a pretty negative person actually before. Like I was really, first of all, I had the craziest PMS. I was a moody wet rag. And you know, I think that's another thing that changed so much was just my moods, my attitude. And that's the one thing you also really can't convince people. It's like the chances of your outlook on life changing and like your attitude becoming much more positive through eating. I know that sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy, but it's true.
Look, like what are our brains made of? Food. Like our cells are made of everything we put in our mouth. That's it. So of course you're going to think differently if you're eating differently. Like,
oh, man.
And that will take longer. That took the longest for me. Like my energy and vitality just shot through the roof. I'm not kidding. Within a week. I mean, I was 23 at the time. So the younger you are, obviously, the faster you're going to feel the change. But psychologically, it took a little longer. But I still can't believe like how my mindset has changed.
Totally.
Yeah. But like, that's because my brain is made of plants now.
My brain is made of plants. That is a good pull quote. My brain is made of plants now. I love it. So talking about how hard it is to convince people of this lifestyle, is that why you entice everybody with your spectacular photography?
It's funny because if you go back to 2007, which you will probably remember, Talia, my photography, not so hot.
Right.
So I taught myself how to take food photos because I realized that, you know, actually as food blogging did become sort of a thing, I realized that there were a lot of really good photos out there and mine sucked. So I was like, God, I better, woman up here.
How did you teach yourself?
Well, actually, because of my fine arts background, and I actually taught photography to high school students. That was my side job when I was studying.
Oh, cool.
So I understood like darkroom photography, but I'd never really worked digitally before. But because my background is painting, I understand composition and color and light very well.
Makes sense.
Food photography was very commercial at that time. And it slowly becomes so much more natural and almost like to a fault, like all the, I don't know, the rusticity of food photography, which is completely fake. I mean, I'm just as much a, I'm totally into that as well. But
into what?
Well, just like making a dish look like thrown together when like it's very composed.
Well, that's a question. Yes, I was going to ask you, do you style like your regular everyday meals, like your non-Instagram meals? Are they as beautiful as your Instagram meals?
I take a lot of pride in that because I also think, you know, the cliche, we eat with our eyes first. I don't know, like for me, part of cooking is the artistic expression of the dish. So like my husband will vouch for this. I put a dinner in front of him last night. He was like, holy cow. So yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, it takes a minute extra just to like throw a drizzle of olive oil on there and some little sprinkly thing and a few sprouts. Like, I don't know. There's something really fun about that. And I mean, even if it's for myself, you should have seen my breakfast this morning. It was ridiculous. I didn't Instagram it because I feel like I have too many waffles on my Instagram.
Oh, that's so funny. I do the same. All I eat for breakfast are waffles. And I feel like really? My whole thing is just waffle.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's so funny.
So you understand. So I didn't, but you know, even my husband also was like, wow, that looks incredible. You're going to Instagram that? I'm like, no, it's just for me. Ooh, so I nice. Do. I really, it's self-love. It's a gift to myself. Like every time I make food for myself, it's a gift to me. And I want to wrap it up with the prettiest bow I have and sit down and just, God, be so grateful for that. It's really important
that.
To me.
Do you say something to yourself in your mind as you're eating, you know, express gratitude in some way?
I actually do it before. I have a little... everyone who's seen me knows this.
Oh, tell us.
I actually started doing this at Arco Santi. This was another part of my sort of spiritual awakening, if you will.
Okay.
I was sitting down to dinner with night with a guest who came to stay there, and she put her hands over her plate and she took about 30 seconds of silence and closed her eyes. And I was like, what is this lady doing? And I asked her when she finished that, I'm just saying thank you. And I was like, wow, that's really nice. You know, what are you thankful for? And said, I'm just, you know, so grateful I get to eat this beautiful meal. And I'm just sort of reflecting on my day so far. And so I started doing that. So I've been doing that for 11 years and or 12 now, I guess. Yeah. Oh my gosh, 12 years. Huh?
Wow.
And the interesting thing is taking 30 seconds, sometimes a minute. It's very funny, actually. I'll take longer if I can't shift my energy from like, you know, busy email time or like, I just, my kid's having a tantrum and like, so I can sit there actually for a few minutes until energetically I can feel myself putting whatever else aside and focusing on the fact I'm about to sit down and have a nice meal. And not only from a spiritual aspect, this has like deeply transformed my life because it's filtered down into every aspect of my existence. I'll be on my bike, sun shining, even if it's not, it's pouring rain. I'll just be like, I'm in this moment. I'm so grateful to be in my body. The rain is cold, but I am so grateful to feel how cold I am. Like, I don't know. It's really weird. I just feel it's made me very present and much more grateful in general.
Wow. I want to try this.
You should really try it. Whenever I give cooking classes, we do that actually as a collective. And I get emails from people all the time saying, even if it was like 5 years ago, Sarah, thanks so much for showing me 5 years ago just to take 30 seconds before I eat to say thanks. Because I think gratitude, if you can be in that energetic space more often, it's impossible that your life will not change because you will see the beauty in so many moments of your day. And when you lay down at night, the feelings of immense luckiness and gratitude are overwhelming. It's really transformative and it makes you present and it fills your life with... It makes it full. It makes just feel so full.
No, that's wonderful. I've been actually trying to instill some gratitude practices into my life because I realize I walk around not being grateful enough for the things that I have. And I also know that the more gratitude that you express and appreciate on a daily basis, the more great things you get. So it's a win-win-win-win-win.
So better raise the vibration.
Yeah. So this is a great starting place to just sit with a meal. For what, 30 seconds before and just be thankful for the leaves and the drizzle and the sprinkle and the plate and the fork.
And also from a digestion perspective, this is really going to change how you digest as well. Because when we, again, shift our focus from the horrible email from our boss or the laundry list of stuff we have to do, to the food, we actually tell our bodies, hey, you're going to pull the blood from your extremities into your core, which is where it's needed to digest food properly. And therefore, you're not in this fight or flight mode, which is where most of us are operating from constantly, which is a very dangerous place. So taking a deep breath, taking three long deep breaths actually tells your nervous system everything's kosher and that you can enjoy this food in a peaceful place. And that alone is going to help you're going to digest your food better.
I'm pumped. Screw digestive enzymes. It's all about the gratitude.
It's all about the gratitude.
Totes. Yeah. So this makes me think, when I heard you on our mutual friend Katie Horwich's podcast, you guys were talking about how, you know, at a young age, you learn to manifest things. And then you said, the older you get, the faster things come. And I feel like you guys just ended that conversation and I was like salivating for more. So you like did not expand upon that. You're like, yeah, I can get anything I want. It happens really fast, so I have to be careful. And I was like, oh, please tell me. So tell me about manifesting and how this became a part of your life at a young age and how you work on it now. I'm so curious.
Well, I mean, this is not something I discuss a lot, like I said, with Katie, because I find I can sort of be, pigeonholed into being like a hippie new ager, but you know, let's face it, I am. So whatever.
I mean, you brew your own kombucha. Okay.
So it's too late.
Yeah. You're mynewroots.org. Yes.
Well, I was visiting a friend and she had this thing on. This is also like before podcasts. She was listening. There was just this voice on in the background, like all day. And finally I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't really listening. It was sort of like white noisy. And I was like, Nadine, what are we listening to? And she's like, oh, it's Esther Hicks. I'm like, what is this woman talking about? And she said, oh, she's talking about the power of attraction or the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is that? And she explained it to me and I thought, well, I don't know. And she said, well, here, I'll loan you a CD and why don't you listen to it in the car on the way home? So that's just what I did. And I was really blown away with the pure truth that this woman was expressing. And it was just about whatever we focus our attention on grows. Mm-hmm. That's just what happens because we are energetic beings and wherever we're vibrating, wherever our energies are, those are the things that we attract. We're like magnets. So it's quite simple. It's also very complicated, but it's simple in its theory, but I guess profound in its effects. And I just tried it because, again, I was sort of walking around like little things would upset me. My dad was always very much like, don't sweat the small stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just chill out. He's like, you're so young. Like, what are you so stressed about? And, you know, I think in my 20s, things were just really, I was really unsure about where I was going. I'd actually moved to Denmark. This was the interesting part of the story, I guess, where the application comes in.
Ooh, application.
So I moved to Denmark in October 2008. And I moved over here because I'd met this lovely man on a street corner in New York City. And we fell in love.
What?
Yeah, we did long distance for a really long time. And then finally, it made the most sense for me to move over there as opposed to him coming to Toronto. So I left everything behind. I left my family, my closest friends, my job. I left my holistic nutrition practice. Everything was gone. And I moved over here for love, which seemed very romantic at the time. And I got here and I had no friends, no job. The only person I knew was this man who I loved and I am now married to and have very happily.
That you met on the corner of a New York City street? That's incredible. Sounds like a rom-com.
He asked me for directions and I, yeah.
Wow.
It was quite instant.
Cool.
Yeah, I know.
So you're over there. You don't even know the language.
I was so alone, Talia. I've never felt so alone in my entire life. And I was pretty miserable. Even though I was very in love, it actually showed me, like, is love enough to hold someone in a very uncomfortable place in their life? And my answer was no. Oh. I was really quite devastated and really, really lost. Mm-hmm. And that was October, moving into November, moving into December. I decided to go back home for Christmas because my poor family was very sad I'd left them, completely abandoned them. I go back home and I met up with my friend Nadine, and that's when she gave me these CDs. And okay. I was listening in the car on the way back from her house. I realized that she has this sort of metaphor of beating the drum. So I was beating the drum of, I was living in Denmark and I was beating the drum of living in Canada. And that's all I was focused on was that I wasn't in Canada, that I missed everybody, that I left my life behind me, that I wasn't surrounded by my friends. So my energy field was putting out, like I was living in Denmark, but my heart was in Canada. Of course I was never going to be happy.
Right.
I had made a decision and not lined up with it, which is another thing Esther talks about a lot. Mm. And I decided after listening to Esther for hours and hours and hours, I sat in the driveway just letting these words wash over me and come into me. And I realized that I had just been, in such a funk, but it was completely self-induced and that I needed to move to Denmark and actually move to Denmark. Right. I needed to decision line up with it. So I came back here, put my big girl pants on, and I cycled around to every vegetarian restaurant in the city. I started volunteering. I started, basically doing anything I could to make connections with people. Mm-hmm. Within days, everything shifted. I got a job. I made my first friend. Everything that I had asked for started coming to me. Mm-hmm. And it was because instead of focusing on the things that I didn't have, I raised my energetic levels to a point where I was imagining how good it would feel to have those things and saying, I can't wait to get this job that's going to make me feel so good. I can't wait to meet a new friend. She's going to look like this. She's going to be like this. This is what she's going to be into. And literally, I think the more specific I got, which was the crazy thing, the more specific I got, the easier and faster things came to me.
Wow.
So I've really applied that to everything in my life. And I have to credit visualization and desire as sort of the thing that's brought all this success to me. And how people are always like, oh, you're so lucky to be self-employed, or you're so lucky to be traveling so much. I'm like, I'm not lucky. I made those things. Like, I created every single thing that I have. And I am, not rolling in cash yet.
But you're visualizing it.
But I'm not beating the drum of being poor. I'm beating the drum of living in abundance. And that's what I've created for myself. And I feel like the richest person in the world because I make my own schedule. I travel the world. I have a beautiful family that I adore that can come with me on all these wild experiences. I mean, it's such a cliche, but you can do whatever you want in your life. You really can. It's really about creating opportunities for yourself. But I think first is getting to the point where you're not dwelling on what you don't have. You have to raise your vibration to a place where you're grateful for what you do have. And this brings it back to gratitude because that does is it puts you in a state of presence. And again, you're vibrating on a more positive plane, which attracts better things and faster. Like I said, I have to be careful what I ask for because it turns around so fast. I'll say I'm really into XYZ and I'll get an email the next day.
Like you said, I really want to be on the Party My Plants podcast. And then I emailed you the next day.
And then you emailed me the next day.
It was amazing. You manifested it. It was perfect. No, that's so crazy because I'm literally reading Ask and It Is Given by the Hickses right now.
Oh, my God.
No joke. Classic. That's my bedtime read.
Oh, my God. That's great. Well, it's crazy. The truth. I mean, there's so many skeptics out there and people are like, that's a bunch of BS. It's like, well, why don't you just try it? Because your life is going to change dramatically.
Same with food. Full circle.
And speaking about vibration, because I got to pull it back to that. This is why eating a plant-based diet is so important, because plants have a higher vibrational frequency than animal products do. It's just the way it is. Eating plants is going to help you raise your vibration. The reason we feel like garbage all the time and we cannot conceivably feel better is because of the food that we're eating. So again, taking it back to this whole idea of mood and food changing the way we think and the way we feel, it's because vibrationally, we are shifting ourselves on a molecular level. That is why eating a primarily plant-based diet is so important for making this even more possible for yourself, because you are going to shift yourself energetically so quickly and so profoundly. And as soon as you eat something, I always joke, I say that's a really low vibe thing to eat. But I'm very serious. It's low vibrational. It's not where you want to be. And if you're in a very high vibrational place and you eat that food, you're going to feel even worse. You feel it instantly, which is why someone puts a piece of chocolate cake in front of me. They're like, oh, doesn't this look good? I'm like, I don't want to go down there. I want to be where I am, which is up here. I don't want to lower myself to that level, not in a snobby way, but just what do I want inside my body? I want high vibration in there all the time. I want to maintain the awesomeness that I'm feeling all the time. And that does not include swaggy chocolate cake. I just did a blog post about sprouting, because sprouting is literally the most high vibrational food you can eat, because right. It is not just raw, but living, which is an important distinction. Mm-hmm. Living foods, they're very, very high vibe. And again, this is why I suddenly felt so friggin' amazing at the farm, was because I was picking food and eating it immediately.
Right.
When you pick a food within a few days, the life force is just gone. I mean, there's still nutritional benefits, of course. But that's why there's such a difference between raw foods and living foods. And that's why eating locally and seasonally is so important, because you want access to the food as quickly as possible after it's been harvested for the most benefit.
Yeah. So when you say living food, we're talking about things with living organisms in it, such as kombucha or, right, because that's fermented, and sauerkraut and sprouts, stuff like that, right?
Yes. So there's sort of like a ladder. It's like raw foods, fermented foods is next, and then sprouted food, like fresh sprouts. So fermented foods are actually really interesting, because I mean, they are living in a sense. There's a lot of microorganisms alive in that, but mm-hmm. the food itself is not growing anymore. So like, let's say it's kimchi. The cabbage has obviously been picked, and then you process it through the fermentation to become something else. So the cabbage isn't alive, but the microorganisms are very much alive. So it's slightly different. Okay. So when I say living foods, I'm really talking about sprouts, or like you grow tomatoes in your garden, you pluck it and you put it in your mouth. That's alive. That's still a living food.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks for clarifying. So do you grow a lot of your own food?
I used to. Then I had a baby.
Damn baby. So you grew a person instead.
Yeah. I grew a person instead. Found out that took a little more time than I expected. And I miss it so much. I love gardening. I love growing food. I think it's the most spectacular connecting activity yeah. that one can do. And it really makes you appreciate food on another yeah. level. Like when you understand the energy that has gone into producing a grain of quinoa, you will never look at quinoa the same again.
Yeah, I was in Thailand recently and we were driving by rice fields, and just to see that there are people tending to grow rice. Like they are working for us to grow rice. And these are the fields where rice, and you think about it and you take rice for granted. Like out of any food, I feel like rice is the most taken for granted. I mean, you push it aside when they give too much to you at a restaurant, or it's so cheap. You like don't even care. But like every little grain grew, and it's, I don't know. For me, that was mind blowing, and I didn't even grow it. I just drove by it.
Yeah, the water and the sun and the human energy that went into growing every single one of those little seeds. It's so beautiful that to waste even one is a crime in my mind. This is what I mean. When you grow food yourself, or at least you understand the process on a deeper yeah. level, you appreciate food so much more.
And so how did you go from learning, you know, how to grow food and this appreciation for food and health to actually being a cook? Because I know you are not classically trained, you're self-taught. So how did you learn how to make recipes and then, you know, keep pumping them out for 10 years and 2 cookbooks?
Well, it's the short answer is practice. Yeah. The longer answer is that when I came to Denmark and discovered that my holistic nutrition degree was moot, aka useless.
Because you were in a different country.
Because it doesn't exist here as a profession, because they don't believe in that here. So, so guess what I was beating the drum of for a really long time? Like, I don't have a job. Mm. Nobody wants me. My degree's useless. Like, I mean, I was just spinning in this vortex of like darkness and no possibilities. Anyway, so started listening to Esther Hicks, came back to Denmark, and I was like, okay, instead of focusing on the fact that I can't get a job in holistic nutrition, let's look at mm-hmm. what I can do, and let's look at what I'm interested in. What fired me up in the last little while? What really got me excited about being alive? And it was cooking. And so that's why I started taking my resume around to, you know, restaurants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had no cooking experience at all, but the last place I went that day said, you know, sure, we'll give you a try. And, within like 2 weeks of working in the restaurant and making food, it was like, that was the answer. So again,
right.
even though that wasn't the obvious thing for me to be doing, it was as close as I could get to holistic nutrition and, you know, working with food in some way. And it turns out that's what I was meant to do. So this is another reason that you know, again, if you can be open-minded, things will turn out much differently than you expected, but they'll turn out in the way that they're meant to, and which is the beauty of this whole thing.
So cool.
So cool. So within 2 weeks of cooking, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've never considered this before as like a profession. I was so alive and so excited. The restaurant I worked at, there were no recipes and there was no menu. It was, you had to just make a bunch of stuff. I had to make about 12 dishes every day. And
wow.
It was very local seasonal restaurant.
It's perfect for you.
Oh my God, it was amazing. So it was like, what is there in the fridge? What's in the pantry? Make 12 things. Go.
Wow.
So
that's like unheard of.
It was a little bananas. But man, I learned how to cook really perfect quickly. For you. So I basically had a testing ground 5 days a week, 9 to 5, or a little earlier, a little later, but where I could
roughly,
you know, experiment and test my theories. And sometimes I would do, you know, duplicates, like, you know, if on Tuesday this salad really worked, I'd make it again on Friday or something. But generally, I tried to push myself to do something different every single day. So wow. I learned how to cook really quickly. And I think, you know, when people are like, oh, I'm not good at cooking, I don't know how to do it, I'm like, just start somewhere, because it just takes practice. It's like a health journey. You know, it's not black and white. It's not this direct line. It's very meandering, and it just takes time and dedication. You just got to keep doing it over and over again, and eventually it becomes habit. Eventually, right. Understand food in a different way. You understand what you like and the tastes and textures that appeal to you, and then it becomes instinctual. And that's where the fun is, because you can be really creative once you have a few things nailed down. And that's why I always say to people, like, just start by cooking whole grains. Switch from white rice, elbow that out, finish it up, don't waste it. Making the rice that's in your cupboard, and then switch to brown rice, or switch to quinoa, or switch to buckwheat or millet or whatever. And once you have that down, like, you know, make chickpeas, not from a can, get dried chickpeas, boil them yourself, see how much better they taste than canned, and, you know, get these sort of bases down, these staples, what I call building blocks, which is all my second cookbook. And once you have these building blocks, then you can just like riff off stuff. You learn to build meals in a really easy way. And when you have these things on hand in your fridge, you're less likely to order takeout, and you're less likely to, you know, microwave your dinner. Like, you're in control of something. It's so empowering to cook.
Oh, yeah. And then you're in control of how you feel. And then, as we were talking about, how you think, because your mind is plants. Your brain is plants. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you found your way to cooking, because you said you grew up as an artist. And I did go to culinary school. I'm not an artist. And I noticed that most of my peers in culinary school were like former painters or potters, jewelry makers. Yeah, everyone was an artist. I don't know why I just said artist that way. Artist of some sort. And I felt so out of it, because I'm not an artist at all. But those people were so good at just like getting in there, getting in the food and using their hands. And so it makes so much sense to me that you would naturally be drawn and talented at that.
Well, perhaps, yes. I mean, I've never really thought about that before, but I think I'm definitely a creative person in the sense, like, I need to create something every single day, whatever that is. And I think there's something also about working with your hands, which is why farming, I was so in love with farming versus the computer, because I was like using my body, and cooking is a very physical thing. I mean, pounding dough or rolling dough or squeezing, you know, I was making kimchi the other day, like how physical it is. Like, you're really in the creative process. You're in connection with something else that's bigger than you, that's going to become you, by the way. And I don't know, I guess the necessity to create just shifted gears from a painting to a plate of food.
Yeah.
That's why the photography is such an important part for me, for the blog and the cookbooks, because the photography is really the visual expression of the food and the cooking process for me. It's sort of like, okay, now it's represented properly.
Yeah, well, I'm proud to tell you that one of your gorgeous prints currently is hanging in my kitchen.
I saw that in one of your YouTube videos.
Yep, enormous. Yeah. Yeah, your enormous pineapple. I printed it in the biggest size possible. It is framed and it is chilling in my kitchen. And it filled a gap in the kitchen that we had for over 2 years. I mean, we moved in and we live in a loft in Brooklyn, and we have really high ceilings. And we were like, we're going to get the perfect something, some piece of art for this. And 2 years go by and we kind of gave up and didn't know what to do. And then I go to your gourmet print shop, and because after I met you at your book event here, your book tour, I heard about your gourmet print shop. So I was like, what is this? And then I went on, saw the pineapple, which happens to be one of my favorite fruits. It was a beautiful print. I'm like, this is it. And in less than 24 hours, we had ordered it. It was going to a printer. We got it framed.
That's amazing.
And it's on our wall. And it brings me joy every day.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, it looks beautiful, and I'm very humbled. I'm chuffed.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's great. So tell me more about this gourmet print shop. This is one of your latest endeavors, right?
It is, yeah. So after I finished the second cookbook, I just really needed to do something different. And I don't know, I blew up a photo for myself of one of my images, and I was like, wow, it's so good big. Like, it looks so cool large. And again, like, I'm so in love with vegetables and fruit and like the plant world in general. I love letting them speak for themselves in food, but also just like the growing process and just nature. I'm obsessed with it. So
I love it. Yeah.
I guess I want to remind people all the time, like, look what's in front of you. It's a miracle. When I cut open a head of red cabbage or something, like, I have to take a moment. It's like going to church for me. I mean, I'm just absolutely blown away and humbled by how in such a short amount of time, relatively speaking, like in 6 months, something can go from a seed to like a head that's the size of my head that is like these intricately woven and like deep pigmented psychedelia. Like, it's just, how did this happen? It's just nuts to me. So I'm trying to sort of bring people back to that sense of awe and wonder. And I think when you see that on your wall every day, it's like, right, food is incredible. And
yes,
just like the shapes of it and the joy it brings me. And so I was sort of hoping, like, well, I'm going to put this out in the world as just a fun new business thing and see where it goes. And it's been going really well so far. It's a really fun project for me. And I'm really stoked because spring is here finally. And I'm going to put some new prints in the shop really soon.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've been taking some new photos and just because we finally have some fresh stuff coming in. So I'm going to be updating it all the time. I'm hoping to do like, you know, 2 or 3 sort of cycles a year where I can put out a bunch of new stuff. And did you notice that it's a .com, Talia?
I did not notice that, but I'm proud of you. Good job.
Thank
Congrats.
GourmetPrintShop.com.
Well done. And,
it's just another fun creative outlet for me, of which there are many, but yeah.
Yeah. And it benefits us. I mean, it's like beautiful on my wall. I literally love it. And what was the first one that you framed? I'm curious, that you printed for yourself.
Actually, it's not in the shop. It's a photo that
hogging I hogging it for yourself.
Hogged it for myself. I might actually put it up because it's really beautiful. It's I took a photo for the first cookbook of a bunch of berries. I was just washing berries in water, and oh my gosh, just the colors and the water and the shininess, like, just really
excited
me.
Okay, you have to put that up now. Now I want it. I love berries.
Well, it's pretty special, and yes, I'll have to. Yeah, I'll have to send you a little digital, what's the word I'm looking for? A sneak peek.
Ooh, please. A sneak peek. I'd love it.
That was the first one I did and just was like, wow, maybe this is something. Maybe I should make more of these. So
yeah, please. I'm going to buy more. I want to make a little like collect, like a smaller, I don't know, like a gallery wall-ish, like a few. I don't know. Cool. I have a lot of blank spaces, so might as well hang some beautiful plants, right?
Yeah, man. Well, that's what I did here.
Stay
at my
on
house.
Brand.
Yeah, I have so many of them hanging in my son's room. And it's funny too, because people are like thinking that they should just be in the kitchen, but actually they look really cool in all rooms because some of them are very abstract and you don't really know what they are. So from that perspective, it's kind of neat to have like, chocolate drops above
the couch. I was just gonna say the chocolate one's pretty abstract.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, well, thanks for the compliment. And I'm so glad the pineapple is hanging in your kitchen and it looks awesome. I love
it's killing
that you did it big.
Yeah, we did a big.
Most people have a big blank space and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to fill it up. And I wanted to make something that's really affordable for people because people when you buy like a painting, it's thousands of dollars, especially
right.
If it's original, or even a photograph. It can be like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool to make something, to make big art that's really affordable? So that was my other motivator.
Yeah, well, you nailed that because we downloaded it. I think it was like the bigger print was $30-something maybe to download.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we printed it at this place here. I think we printed it for $100-something. And then I think we got a pretty cheap frame just somewhere online, like some sort of like frames.com type of situation. Yep. And then just slapped it on the wall and no big deal.
Easy.
So
cool. That's great.
Well, I love it. And so let's talk about your books real quick. I went to your book event. That was phenomenal. And you explained that your newest book, Naturally Nourished, nice alliteration, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. It's aimed to show people that you can eat well with everyday ingredients, like you stuff people can buy at Walmart and stuff, you were saying. I'm curious why this was important for you for book number two.
Yes, good question. Well, for the first book, I really wanted to just spread my wings and kind of flex my chefy muscles, I guess, a little bit. And, you know, I love special ingredients. I love finding some crazy superfood that does this thing and nothing else does or whatever.
Like pearl. You said at that event you made smoothies with pearl.
I know it. I get so much flack for that social
You're so
media.
Fancy.
Like, you put pearl in your smoothie. Are you kidding me? I'm like, sorry, it was a gift. Like, I would probably never buy pearl for myself. But anyway. So I guess because of my restaurant background, I tend to make dishes that are pretty component heavy. So what I mean by that is, like, there's a grain, there's a bean, there's a roasted veg, there's a sauce, there's a toasted topping, there's this thing. And, like, there's many different elements that you have to create to make the final dish.
Right.
And on top of that, there's also some things you'll probably have to make a special trip to the health food store to get or order something online. And I guess I see the way that, you know, we're sort of being divided up into people that can afford healthy eating and people that can't. And then I think the people who can't really feel, it must be a terrible feeling, you know, very alienating. And it's like one more block you have to go through to get to whatever it is, the ultimate health on a, you know, pedestal. And I just feel like, well, that's not actually the way it is. But I think a lot of people, especially through social media and, you know, see like, oh, this girl's drinking a green smoothie and it has like 2 tablespoons of spirulina in it or like blue magic or something. It's like this, you know, it's like $70 for a tiny little jar. I mean, that's really inaccessible for most people. So
totally.
I was like, what am I trying to do in this world? I'm trying to get everyone to eat healthier. You know, most people don't have $70 to spend on a jar of algae. So, but what they do have is 99 cents to buy a head of broccoli. So let's not forget that there is a lot of amazing stuff at the grocery store. And mostly what I cook are really simple things. I mean, yes, I love crazy ingredients. And, you know, I'll definitely share those things on social media more than like, oh, I just steamed a head of broccoli. Isn't this awesome, you guys? Like, that's not the sexiest thing in the world, but it's what I eat. So it was really just about looking at the majority of my diet, which is incredibly inexpensive, and everything I can get at a supermarket. So it's using grocery store staples in creative ways. So like taking sunflower seeds and making risotto out of them, or making sunflower seed butter, which is much cheaper than almond butter. And then you can make cookies with that sunflower butter.
Hell yeah.
Or
stuffing a sweet potato. You show like in your book 3 different ways to stuff a sweet potato.
Yes.
At least 3, right?
At least 3.
Yeah.
And yeah. Each chapter opens with what I call 3-way.
Nice. And
a 3-way is the same thing, the same sort of base that you can make into 3 different things. So it's the stuffed sweet potato, but here's 3 different toppings. Or here's massaged kale. Here's 3 different ways of treating it. You know what
That's
you
great.
Should try, actually, Talia, is the, I just read a cookbook, my cookbook review recently, the latest one that I just received from my publisher. And this girl that reviewed the book was really into the pressed kale salad. Pressed salads are sort of a very macrobiotic throwback, but very cool. What you do is you take all the ingredients, so like apple, carrot, I think there's some radish, some apple, obviously. Did I say kale? Sweet potato.
Well, it's a pressed kale salad, so I figured.
Yeah, so you figured. So what you do is you massage everything together with salt, and then you put until sort of a lot of the liquid starts to come out. Then you take a plate and you put a plate on top of this stuff in a bowl, and then you weigh it down with like a big jar full of water or something, and you wait half an hour. And what happens is that the salt forces a lot of the liquid to come out of the vegetables. And what you're left with is like basically dressing and all these raw vegetables that have been broken down and it's friggin' delicious. You need like a tiny bit of olive oil and lemon and like no dressing. It's just the South dresses itself.
It's self-dressed.
Self-dressed. I'm trying to just, again, open people's eyes to the cool possibilities. It's just thinking about vegetables in different ways. Like, how can we treat the same thing in different ways to make it new and exciting? And that's awesome. That's what the second book is all about. So it's grocery store staples sort of reimagined. Everything is much simpler, simpler ingredients, fewer ingredients, simpler processes. It's much more technique focused than the first cookbook was. So I'm really also showing people, like, you know, quick pickling and charring and roasting and braising and all these things. So you learn how to cook at the same time. Therefore, you can be creative outside of the cookbook as well.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's definitely, I think, achieves what you wanted, which is to show people how to easily cook with more plants. So nailed it.
Thank you. I really, the response has been really positive. I was so nervous about this book.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know. I guess my readership really loves the funky ingredients and they love learning about bee pollen and stuff. So I guess I just had a lot of insecurities about letting them down in a way, like that this book was going to be too simple, actually. But actually, everyone's been so stoked, like, oh my God, I can make this on a Tuesday. That's great. So nice. I'm really proud of it. I think the book tour really helped with the confidence because the first few events, I was almost like apologizing for it being too simple. Or when I'd work with the chef, worked with a lot of chefs doing pop-ups on the tour and, like, you know, Michelin star chefs. And I'm like, I'm really sorry the book is so simple. Maybe you should look at my first one. It's much better. I was really apologetic. But yeah, by the end of the tour, I felt much prouder because people really had been cooking from it already and giving me some great feedback. And it was like, oh, wow, this is really helping people. Like, this is removing all blocks to healthy eating. And that's what the goal is for My New Roots. So I'm stoked.
That's great, as you should be. And I mean, I think simple is the way to go, personally. I don't know if you've been, but have you been to ABC Kitchen?
Yes, but not ABC V.
Well, it probably opened after you left.
It opened the day I left.
Oh, bummer.
Devastating. Well, I was so
next time you're here.
Yeah. Is it
the
good?
The chef is actually, Neil's come in on the show.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that. But it's fantastic. But what I was trying to say is that both ABC V and more even ABC Kitchen, their food is incredible, but it's as simple as possible. It just celebrates the plant. I mean, they have a toast that's just bread, olive oil, and I get it without the ricotta. So it's just kabocha squash on bread with a little bit of mint. And it's like unbelievably good. Their kale salad's like one ingredient, kale. but it's still amazing. So there's no shame in simplicity, especially if it helps people eat more plants.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I'm so glad to see restaurants doing that. I think it's very bold. I mean, you can't hide behind anything, you know. It's really obviously, if you can get food really fresh and locally and seasonally, like, you don't have to do much to it, and that makes it easier. But I think the strength of the second book really shows people how to bring out the natural flavors in food while maintaining the nutrients without it being complicated. It's really a celebration of what the food is itself and nothing more.
Oh, you know, through the 10 years of the app and the books and the blog, I'm curious, do you know what some of the all-time most popular My New Roots recipes are?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the life-changing loaf of bread remains number one.
I'm so glad you said that. Wait, I have the craziest story to tell you about that.
Okay.
I'm so glad you said that. Okay. Do you know the island Nantucket? Have you heard of Nantucket?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It is, in case someone doesn't know, it's an island off of Cape Cod that's 15 miles long, 3 miles wide. It is tiny and remote. Okay. So 3 years ago, 2014, I went to a tiny sandwich shop on the tiny island of Nantucket, and I'm reading their menu, and off to the side of the menu is like a separate whiteboard, and on the top of the whiteboard is written, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free, My New Roots life-changing loaf. I took a photo of this 3 years ago. I just had to take a photo. I don't know if I was going to like tweet it to you. I didn't know you. So I saved it. I still have the photo. I'll show it to you. It says gluten-free oats, sunflower, pumpkin seeds, almonds, poppy, and sesame seeds, extra virgin olive oil. And guess how much they were selling one slice of your bread for? Grilled. I mean, it was fancy grilled. $4.
Oh my God.
They were selling your bread. $4 a slice.
I have to say, Sally, I'm really happy to hear that they were selling my bread, because can I tell you how many bakeries I've been into that are also selling my bread with no credit?
No.
Actually, when I was on my book tour, we went into a bakery in San Francisco, blatantly selling my bread with, you know, it's fine. You can't, like, copyright a recipe, you know.
Right.
But it was literally, because the ingredient list was, they listed the ingredient list exactly the same. But there was no mention of my nurse.
I have the chills. Shameless. I can't imagine how bad that would feel. I would be enraged.
No, I'm not enraged by it because it means
they
that more
stole
people
it, though.
Like, I don't know. I'm more encouraged by it, I guess, because it's like, you know, that people are eating it. The more people are eating it. It would be nice if that was attached. But I mean, again, what is my goal? My goal is to get people to eat healthier.
So if someone else
is making my bread, I've inspired them in some way, which is incredible and deeply humbling. And, you know, someone's going to take that bread home and be like, wow, this is delicious. I can't believe that this has no gluten or no flour in it or whatever. And, you know, they'll feel better. And again, if we dwell all the time on the things that we don't love in this world, then that's what we're going to get.
We're beating the wrong drum.
So I choose to look at the bright side and say, wow, I've inspired someone and they've been so in love with this recipe, they've decided to steal it and sell it.
Well, clearly it's life-changing. Clearly. I was in awe. I flipped out when I saw that, and I'm so glad I get to tell you directly now.
That's so nice you shared that with me.
Thank you. It was crazy. I was in shock. So, okay, so clearly that's one of the most popular recipes, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's number one.
People are producing
it. The raw cashew dream cake is definitely up there. Because I think, again, like, that was, I put that on the blog, like, before sort of raw cashew cheesecakes were a thing.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it wasn't my idea, but I was working at as a waitress in a very cool organic restaurant in Toronto before moving to Denmark. And they had a version of that. And I was like, this is genius. And so I just tried to make it up and it worked.
Cool.
And then the raw brownie is obviously a really popular one. All the desserts. People love the desserts. But the life-changing loaf, I think that will never be surpassed as far as the most popular.
Well, I haven't made it yet, so I have to get on that.
Gotta get on that. It's really good. You know what, actually? I would recommend you start with the crackers, the life-changing crackers.
Ooh, how come? You don't think I'm worthy of the bread yet?
Of course you're worthy. More than the crackers. I don't know. I make the crackers more than I make the bread, to be honest. I think because, first of all, they last for a really, really long time. And they're so crispy. And they're the best crackers. I mean, I can say this confidently. I think they're the best crackers you'll ever have.
What do you do with them? Dip them in hummus?
I mean, I sort of, I really love open-faced sandwiches. So I sort of make an open-faced sandwich, but with the cracker instead. And because, I mean, it's the same recipe, except it's just rolled flat.
Gotcha.
Except, you know, no nuts. You don't put nuts in because obviously you can't roll nuts flat unless you chop them really finely. I just use seeds for it. You can actually eat a lot, or the surface area of the cracker could be so much bigger, so you can eat more.
Nice. So it's more a thinner topic. But bigger vehicle for whatever you're trying to eat.
Exactly. Exactly. All and right. Because whenever I make the life-changing loaf, I almost always toast the slices because it's the best damn toast ever.
Right.
That's how I got the idea for the crackers. Is I was like, this is so toasted. How can I get all of this bread toast? And I was like, crackers.
Okay. So a few fun personal questions for you before I let you go. And thank you so much for giving me so much of your time. I'm curious if you have a favorite plant party restaurant, both in Denmark or the US. I know you just finished a book tour. And by plant party restaurant, obviously, I just mean a restaurant that celebrates the plants.
That is a great question. Let me think, because I know I hit up some pretty cool spots when I was on my in Toronto. I'll start with Toronto, which is the restaurant I used to work at as a waitress, sort of waitress, more like person behind the counter. It's called Camrose, and it's organic Persian food, and it's all vegan. But they never even mention that because it's irrelevant because the food is so delicious. It's honestly, it's my first spot I hit up every time I go back to Toronto. Then, oh my gosh, I feel like so disappointing right now. I don't have a great answer.
That's okay.
Okay, and then in LA, think about Los Angeles. The Cafe Gratitude and Gracias Madre there are.
Oh, yeah. Those work. And what about Denmark? What about the one you worked in.
I just have to say this because I really love Seattle very much. And I did an ice cream collaboration with a vegan ice cream parlor called Frankie and Joe's. And if you love ice cream, and not even if you're vegan,
who doesn't just love ice cream?
Who doesn't? You're robots. go to Frankie and Joe's and have your mind blown by their completely plant-based ice creams because they are really paving the way. And I'm very excited that I got to make an ice cream flavor with them.
What was the flavor?
Best day of the whole year.
Wow.
In Denmark's tricky because vegetarian is sort of a four-letter word still. But here's the thing. You can go out and get a plant-based dinner, but they're just going to give you, like, the sides.
Mm-hmm.
There's still this, like, weird thing where chefs are like, well, if you don't eat meat, I guess you're not hungry. So here's, like, a thimble full of Brussels sprout leaves. Like, I don't understand. It's so frustrating. So you can do it here. It's just, like, I'm always left wanting more.
So I guess the best restaurant is your house.
Pretty much.
So anytime any of us are in Denmark, we're coming over to eat at your house.
I'll take a number. That was really cute, actually. Every time we go out for dinner, my husband, we're always, you know, biking home after, and he just looks at me, he's like, I should have just eaten at home. It would have been better.
Cute. That's really sweet. But it's true.
It's true. I mean, that way I get to, like, control the ingredients. I can buy, like, I'd honestly rather go out to the market and get some, like, crazy ingredients that are so expensive, because going out for dinner here, I mean, again, that's a month's rent. So if I'd rather splurge on some, like, truffles and some, like, crazy oils and some stuff and then come home and cook, you know, and, you know, put some money into the ingredients rather than go out for a dinner that's going to cost us a month's rent and isn't really that great. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
But, it's happening. Like Manfred's is a great place to go. Where else do I really like to eat? Hafnia is a place that just opened recently. That's plant-based. Mm-hmm. Completely. I just find the service horrendous. I need to write them a letter, actually, because I go often and I neglect to tell them how bad their service
is. Oh, man. Okay.
Because put that on your to-do so list. Many years, I'm very sensitive to that. Yeah. And where else? And Monstel, the place I learned how to cook, the first job I had. I mean, that's honestly, it's 100% organic. It's all vegetarian, mostly vegan. And the food is made with such love and consciousness. And my favorite thing to do is I go to the sauna, which is almost right across the bike path. Go to the sauna and then go to Monstillet for lunch. It's like the best day ever for me.
Sounds amazing. That sounds
heaven.
Like a perfect day.
Talk about a restorative afternoon. Yes.
Ooh, lovely. Yeah. So, okay, this is going to be the hardest question, and I apologize, but what is your favorite plant to eat? Is that not the hardest question for you?
Very tough.
Sophie's choice.
My favorite plant to eat. Just like imagining it in my mouth, actually. Just like asking my mouth what it wants.
What does
I'm actually
it want?
Really hungry right now.
Perfect.
I didn't have a post-workout meal, so I'm I don't know why not, but I was in a rush. For some reason, strawberry keeps coming up.
Okay. Let it come up.
A Danish strawberry? I apologize, Ontario, but Denmark has something on you.
Okay.
Strawberries in this country are just, it's just candies. Like, it's, talk about a miracle from the earth. Like, I could literally sit in a strawberry patch and just weep.
Better than the Sour Patch strawberries?
Oh, a little bit.
That's funny.
Oh, they're divine. I mean, yeah.
All right. We go with strawberries.
Let's go with strawberries.
What's your favorite thing to do with them? Just eat them?
Yep.
Okay. Nothing. Easy. No. Or put them in your cheesecake.
Or that. I love the meatiness of the strawberry. They're so fleshy and like, and the way they melt, like a good strawberry. I mean, you don't even need to chew it. You just press it on the roof of your mouth with your tongue and it just explodes into a universe of complex sweetness and floral notes. And like, you can taste the sun in it. It's like, oh, poetic. It's
wow, edible. That was very poetic.
Well, I meant the fruit, not what I said. But
I don't think I've ever had a strawberry that you just described. My strawberries that I've had are like firm and you have to cut it and then really bite into it.
No, so you have not had a real strawberry.
No. What am I having?
You should go to upstate and pick your own strawberries.
I'm going to do
it. Go in mid to late June. Although it's pretty cold there now, isn't it?
Nah. It's getting a little warm now. 50s, right. Low 60s.
Look up an organic strawberry you pick place and go. And you'll have a religious experience.
I don't doubt it.
No, it's truly, it's like that's church. That is, you're communing with the higher source there. Or go to any field, go to any you pick, strawberries, blueberries, kale, celery. I don't care.
I'm going to do it.
It's divine.
That's great.
It's divine in the truest sense.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your most used kitchen tool?
Like besides a knife?
Yeah, let's go beyond the knife. Just curious.
I love my food processor so much. I found mine in the garbage because it had a cracked lid and it's...
What?
It's like 79 or 1979, maybe 81 at the latest. Because it's sort of this like really awful beige and green. Like it's the worst color scheme. It had a cracked lid and I guess someone just was like, this is ugly because it's hideous and it's old. So, it's at least 30 years old. And I picked it up and it's actually the best food processor I've ever used. It makes nut butter in like seconds.
So the food processor that you make all your beautiful recipes from, you found in the trash?
Yeah.
What? That is just a testament to
my frugality.
Well, that too. That A. And B, that healthy eating does not have to be expensive and crazy and complicated and full of expensive high-end products.
No, of course not. And people are like, do I need to get a high-speed blender, like a Vitamix or a Blendtec? Like I say, no, but a food processor is a really great place to start. Mm-hmm. Go on to Craigslist and get one. Don't buy one new. Go get a used one. See if you like it. See if it integrates into your life. And if it does, run it into the ground and then you can splurge on anyone. But don't buy new kitchen equipment if you're not sure you're going to use it. I never do that. I also have a Vitamix. I bought a secondhand one. I still have it. It's in Canada. My mom uses it. I had to buy a new one here because no one owns a Vitamix in Denmark. I had a secondhand one forever. They last forever, those things. So again, let's stop this sort of just obsessive consumerism. I just think that we buy way too much new stuff and we just are fueling this crazy industry that's raping the earth.
Raping the earth. That's another pull quote from this.
No, please don't quote me on that one.
The industry that's raping the earth. That is funny.
It's true. I actually watched a documentary last night called Minimalism and it was really interesting. I agree with everything said. It's something I am very conscious of, like trying to live minimally. I really love clothes a lot. I love secondhand clothing. I love going to a vintage clothing store and, finding a cool dress or something. But I have a collection now, way beyond my means. And it's a real weakness for me. I love expressing myself through what I wear. And, but this documentary was very much talking about the rampant consumerism that we live in, in our society and, how making choices away from that is a good idea. But it also talked about not having a lot of stuff, even if you get it secondhand, which is definitely my weak point. So I need to work on that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, we all have our things that we need to work on.
Yes, it's true. Our action journeys, as Esther Hicks would say.
Ooh, I like that. Action journeys. So speaking of Esther Hicks, is there an amazing book besides your two books that's really inspired you in some awesome way?
Good question. Well, I mostly read nonfiction, so that's a good place to start, I guess.
Yeah.
Trying to think of one that I just love. Well, anything Michael Pollan has written. It's just, that man can do no wrong. I'd say any of his books.
Okay.
But In Defense of Food was probably my favorite. But Cooked is fascinating as well. It's not as politically aimed, but... loved it. That was his latest book, which also turned into a Netflix series, which is beautiful. Right. I cried.
Talk about food porn.
Oh,
it's like actual.
He's just incredible. He's such an inspiration to me. So
have
I'll
you
just
met
say
him? I feel like you need to meet him.
No, but I would. Love to do? I just love to cook with him. I would just love to cook a meal with Michael.
You should.
That would make my life. I will. Well, sorry not to keep bringing back Esther Hicks, but I just sent out a rocket of desire.
Okay. Can you tell us how we can get started with Esther Hicks? Because I know, I have this book, Asking It Is Given. I think that's what it's called. But I don't feel like that was the perfect starting place. So what do I do? What do people do if we want to get more of this Esther Hicks thing, which if I'm correct, Esther Hicks is a person who channels her spirit, I don't know, guide Abraham.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. so when she writes, she's writing from his voice?
She's channeling him. Yes. Okay. So she is sort of, and again, this is like what I don't often talk about Esther Hicks, because when people hear the story, they're like, what are you talking about?
It is the most woo-woo thing on this planet. It is beyond. It really is. It's new level woo-woo.
Very much. But irrelevant, because when you listen to her and when you hear her words, it's like, I don't even care how you're channeling this information. It is the truth.
It's right. Just, it's just common. It's almost common sense. I mean, I don't know if common sense is the right word, but it seems pretty believable and real. And you can't really read a word and like dispute it.
Exactly. There's nothing in your body that's going to be like, this is BS. It's just truth. So you can't deny that. So actually, and I think her voice, there's something about Esther's voice I really, really love so much. So actually, I just Googled it quickly while we were chatting, because a friend of mine also asked me recently, where can I start with Esther Hicks?
Okay.
And I listened to so many lectures. But here's the one you need to look for.
Okay.
In YouTube, look up Abraham Hicks, because again, Abraham is who she's channeling. Mm-hmm. And then the subline is to attract immediate success. So okay. I'll just repeat that. Abraham Hicks, to attract immediate success. It's 30 minutes. It's a very good primer. Very, very good place to start. And then of course, like the YouTube vortex of Esther Hicks is long and wide. So have fun, everybody. And I hope it resonates with you. It doesn't resonate with everybody, but you know, this whole concept has been around for a long time. And in fact, the people who commercialized The Secret, I'm using air quotes, really took the sort of...
They stole her secret.
They stole her... They took her like woo-woo-ness and like put it into like a very commercial platform. Mm. So The Secret is very much about like money and cars and stuff. Hers is really about happiness and joy. They use the same applications, but The Secret was just, it's just the law of attraction, which a lot of other people have spoken about as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just think that's a really great place to start. You know, make dinner tonight and put that on in the background.
All right. Great.
Or better, lay down at night in a quiet spot and listen to that with the candle going. Beeswax candle.
Or essential oil.
Sure. Anything. Just get yourself primed and ready to absorb this information. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for sharing. You say you don't talk about this much, but I really appreciate you sharing your secrets with us.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. I mean, it's really changed my life. And I'm happy to talk about it, although it makes me sound a little wacky sometimes. That's okay too.
Well, so did your strawberry poem.
That wasn't even a poem. I was just talking about a strawberry. But anyway, but thank you, Talia.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes.
I think what you're doing is great. Taking the hell out of healthy.
You know it. So are you. So where can everyone go to find you and everything about, we said it 100 times, mynewroots.org, but that's where you find the books and Amazon and Instagram, everywhere.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook and thegourmetprintshop.com. My app is My New Roots. And I've also just started holding wellness retreats.
Ooh.
So that is my business for that is called goldencircleretreats.com.
Nice.
And we have 4 more this year coming up, and we're going to announce the next ones really soon. And they're all women's retreats. So it's all about the sisterhood and coming together and feeling amazing. It's 7 days of total reset and inspiration for ladies.
Well, that sounds just about great.
It's pretty great.
Maybe you will see me at one of those eventually.
That would be great.
Would be great. Cool. Well, thank you so incredibly much. This has been fun and happy and an honor and a pleasure and informative and inspiring and all the great things. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Talia. All the best.
Holy shit. I mean, wow, Sarah, really? Could you get any more? Just wow. I mean, some of my favorite quotes from this episode are, and there are many, all of which are in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/31. But some of my favorite quotes from Sarah are, we all have the right to know how we work. My brain is made of plants. You'll never look back and say, ah, I wish I'd eaten more donuts. And of course, we're raping the earth. Thank you so, so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling, I don't know, just completely inspired right now to eat more plants for your health, the environment, and your mind. If this episode got you all hot and bothered like it did me, I would be totally grateful. Ah, see, practicing more gratitude already. But I'd be totally grateful if you'd leave a rating and review on my podcast in iTunes. It really helps more peeps find my pod so they can hear things like Sarah's ode to strawberries on their long car drives too. Special thanks again to Amazing Grass for being my partners in crime when I need plants in my bod stat, but don't have time or desire, let's be honest, to juice myself. Plus, even if I did juice myself, I couldn't get the bonus probiotics and matcha and other fancy healthy shiz they put in their green powder anyway. As a reminder, Amazing Grass is being amazingly generous to Party My Plants podcast listeners and is offering you 40%, which is almost 50% off your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use promo code PLANTSPARTY40 at checkout. And as always, you'll find a link to their site, all the notes from this episode, links to everything Sarah has going on, and so much more that makes healthy living not suck at partyinmyplants.com/31.